Saga Egmont presents The Porchester Castle Murders by Pauline Rowson. Read by Colin Mace. Note to the listener. Please note, this book is set in the early 2000s, when technology was somewhat different. Chapter 1. Friday the 13th of March. Where is everyone? Inspector Andy Horton swept into the CID room at Portsmouth Station and addressed the wiry, dark-haired figure leaning back in his chair, chewing gum and tapping a pencil thoughtfully on his chin.
You're looking at him, Sergeant Cantelli answered, throwing the pencil down and sitting up.
Horton frowned. And DC Walters?
Probably in the canteen. Must be all of an hour since he last ate. And you know how faint he gets if he has to go too long without food.
Cantelli smiled, obviously expecting one in return, but Horton wasn't in the mood. Cantelli's expression darkened.
What's wrong, Andy? You look as though you'd like to commit murder.
I would. And of the mindless moron who did this. He thrust a piece of paper into Cantelli's hand. On it was a drawing of a diagonal cross with a broken circle etched above it.
What's it mean?
Asked Cantelli, puzzled, turning it this way and that to study it. No idea, but some idiot thought it a huge joke to scratch it on my Harley. Cantelli's head shot up and his dark eyes widened.
Blimey, no wonder you're in a foul mood. Who would do that?
I intend to find out. Horton waltzed through to his office, wrenching off his leather biker's jacket and slinging it on the coat stand.
And when I do, I'll string him up by the balls. It's not a Hell's Angel emblem, is it? Harleys and all that? Asked Cantelli, following him.
A Hell's Angel wouldn't deface a Harley, not even if he hated my guts. He'd scratch that symbol on my face or tattoo it on my private parts.
Perhaps it doesn't mean anything and it's just some sicko's idea of fun.
Well, I'm not laughing. Horton's fury was undiminished since first sight of the abomination that morning. On discovering it, he'd raced back to the marina office and demanded to view the security CCTV tapes of the car park above the pontoon, where he lived on a borrowed yacht. But there were no sightings of the graffiti artist, and no car unaccounted for by Eddie in the office. In fact, there were only three cars in the car park after 10 p.m. last night, when Horton had returned to his boat, following a long and tedious day dealing with pointless paperwork and Portsmouth's criminal classes, whose sole pleasure in life was making other people's lives as miserable as their own wretched existence. The only bright spot had been yesterday afternoon, when he had viewed a yacht that he hoped would soon become his permanent home. He simply couldn't believe a boat owner, either a visiting one or an existing berth holder, could have been responsible for the act of vandalism on his Harley, but he got a list of visitors to the marina from Eddie. There was only one, a Peter Medlow on Sunrise. Horton located the yacht, a classic 1950 Hilliard, which made him even more doubtful that its owner could have defaced a Harley Davidson. A man who chose to sail such a revered yacht couldn't spoil an iconic machine. But, being a police officer, he knew that no one was above suspicion, not even the Pope, though he doubted he'd be visiting South Sea Marina by boat on a chilly, still March night. Medlow had turned out to be a friendly widower in his early 60s, a retired bank manager with a self-effacing manner. Hardly Horton's graffiti artist. Cantelli said,
"Maybe someone's jealous of you."
Horton sat at a desk so overflowing with paperwork that it looked in danger of collapse, and eyed Cantelli incredulously.
"Barney, I live on a borrowed boat. I'm about to get divorced. My estranged wife won't let me see, let alone speak to my daughter, who she's intent on sending away to a boarding school against her wishes, and the only woman I thought I could get close to has put herself beyond my reach by returning to Sweden. How could anyone possibly be jealous of me?" "Thea Carlson's still in touch with you, though, isn't she?"
Cantelli asked, throwing himself into the seat opposite Horton. Horton shook his head.
"No."
He felt a mixture of sadness and anger that the slender, fair woman he'd rescued from a burning building less than 2 months ago had turned her back on him. He had hoped something might come of their feelings for one another. But he should have known better. They both carried too much baggage. In a moment of bitter disappointment, he had accused her of running away.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?